You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. And now let's bring it back to the Bay for one of our biggest issues, economics and evictions. Along the bustling corridor of San Francisco's mid-market neighborhood stands a 100-year-old former furniture store. It houses a colony of people who don't have a lot of space in the city anymore, working-class artists. The seven-story building at 1049 Market Street had about 80 people at one time. That number is now down to fewer than 25. And it's no accident. A former pro baseball player bought the building as an investment property back in 2012, and the remaining tenants are now facing what has become one of the largest mass evictions in city history. The clock already expired, several of them, on June 23rd, but many are fighting to hang on to their affordable units and dreams of staying in the city. Ted Anderson has the story.
Singer-songwriter Chandra Reddick never had a room of her own in San Francisco. Then, more than 10 years ago, she found her loft at 1049 Market Street. Now, her polished guitars sparkle in the sun next to a lush houseplant. Her loft represents the most prolific artistic period of her life.
And you have to live with roommates to be in San Francisco. I've always had to live with a roommate. And I tell you, that's why I've gotten more artwork done since I've had this space than I've done in the entire time I've lived here in San Francisco. Some 30 years, I've gotten more done in 12 years here, just because it's so important for an artist to have space to work in.
Outside her apartment, though, she is far from alone. A community of artists has formed around her.
We have one man that lives here who is a sculptor. He's done some sculpting. And he has sculptures in his room. We have another person here who's become quite a good photographer. He gave me a calendar of his photographs, and he did a lot of the photographs of the neighborhood. And so we also have a man that lives here who is a ballet dancer.
Brendan Barthel, and I live here at 1049 Market Street, and I'm a professional dancer.
Brendan is a 34-year-old professional dancer from Big Sur. He's classically trained in ballet, but he derives his inspiration from the Japanese martial art Seibukan Jujitsu. After high school, he went to a San Francisco dance academy. Now, he performs for several local companies, and he's already toured internationally this year. But even as a professional, Brendan is struggling to pay the bills, and he has to work a second job in catering.
You know, and I mean, just to put it in perspective, you know, not to honk my horn, but like, I've made it as a dancer. You know, guys are in demand right now, and I dance with three really noticeable companies in the Bay Area, but I'm still juggling between those, and I still don't have enough money to live here in San Francisco, and I'm living in a really cheap building, so.
Brendan would have been forced to leave on June 23rd, but he recently received an extension until next February. He says his martial arts background helps to center him during these tense times.
Because it's been such a big part of my life, it's a pretty helpful tool to use. Because I know that I'm going to be okay, and when something does happen, I'll deal with it. And it's helped me keep my mind away from the stress of uncertainty, whereas I know that's what got maybe about at least half the building out in the first place. A lot of the tenants moved out because they couldn't deal with the stress of not knowing or uncertainty.
Individual floors.
One of the first neighbors Brendan met was a 47-year-old photographer who lives on the fourth floor.
I'm Ben Cady, born and raised in San Francisco, and I am currently living downtown, in my 16th year of living downtown.
Ben was influenced by his grandfather, who was also a photographer, and he's a distant relative of legendary Civil War photographer Matthew Brady. The craft almost seems to be in his blood.
Taking photos is kind of like my way of getting around in the world. I carry my camera a lot, and photographing San Francisco is kind of my way of interacting with my environment in a way.
Ben is a devout Buddhist. His room is like an isolation chamber. No sound, no natural light. A large screen is attached to his concrete wall, and a projector hangs overhead. Neighbors from the building will come over to watch a movie together or just hang out and talk. So when news of the Ellis Act hit, word traveled fast.
You know, obviously it just created a stir. people began seeking, you know, responses, information. Nobody really knew anything. And, you know, we were just running, largely as running into each other in the halls and having conversations and sometimes meeting in rooms. And just gradually daily interactions.
Ben has 1 year to leave.
My family is here. That's a big, you know, part of my experience is moving forward is, will I continue to be able to live close to my family or not?
From Ben's room, we take the elevator up 2 stories to the top level. That's where the sculptor lives.
I'm Ellis Anthony, bro.
He goes by Tony.
I'm a guy who's been living in San Francisco since 1974. I came here from New York City where I was born. And I've been an artist for all of my active life. I've been a sculptor.
Tony uses wood, and he pushed the medium during the Cultural Revolution of the mid to late 60s. But he ended up leaving his life in the Big Apple for the artist haven that San Francisco was.
This was not New York. That's one of the reasons I came here. Okay, it was not New York. When I first came here, the tallest building that I saw from the bridge was the Coit Tower. All I saw was a white, pink, pastel Mediterranean city laid out on this beautiful blue bay. Living in San Francisco in the 70s was totally incredible in many ways, most of which were X-rated, and I will not mention them now. But nevertheless, and artistically, things were popping. All kinds of major work was being done, and people were experimenting in all kinds of every field, music, the visuals, the theaters were popping, dancers, great dance troupes everywhere.
Today, Tony pays just under $1,000 a month for his own rent-controlled unit, not much more than when he first moved in. But now, other studios in the area are going for more than double that. As a senior citizen, he has until February to move out, but he's trying to fight the eviction.
The only thing I can say that's positive is that lots of things can happen in a year. You know, in a year I could die. Hell, I'm 78, any day, okay? But honestly, you have to look at these things for real. And I tell you, I'm not scared of death, okay? That's not what there is to be afraid of. What there is dying badly.
The situation these tenants face is the result of broader forces shaping the mid-market neighborhood. 2 decades ago, much of Market Street was overrun by crime and shuttered storefronts. Back then, the building was only zoned for office use, but businesses weren't renting space. So the owner at that time began renting the units out residentially, which wasn't exactly legal. In 2011, Twitter moved in, and the neighborhood began to turn around. A year later, in came the new ownership group, 1049 Market Street LLC, led by a former professional baseball player, John Gall. The Stanford graduate and San Mateo County resident teamed up with the building's longtime owner, Terry Bogart, to revert to commercial use and evict the tenants. That's when District 6 Supervisor Jane Kim got involved.
For decades, this landlord had been profiting off of this illegal use and from these tenants, taking their rent money every month. And then suddenly, when the real estate market became hot after the mid-market tax exclusion and tech companies started moving into Market Street, the landlord suddenly decided that it wanted to go back to its legal use.
The landlord ordered half of the building's tenants to leave by Thanksgiving 2013 and ordered the other half to vacate by Christmas. The tenants refused to leave. They sought legal assistance and reached out for political help.
So at first the landlord said, well, the tenants can't live there because it's illegal. So I worked very closely with the mayor's office, Department of Building Inspection, and we worked to legalize these units and create exceptions so that these tenants could stay for the first time ever in the city. And, you know, the landlord fought us every step of the way and lost.
John Gall's lawyer, Andrew Zaks, takes a different view. His client is now suing the city and county of San Francisco for more than $50 million for loss of property and opportunity value, among other complaints. He argues that his clients are not legally allowed to accept rent during the ongoing litigation and that the tenants have been living for free for more than 2 years.
Problem is that the obligation to offer free accommodation certainly is not appropriate for my client to have to bear, and no citizen should be required to house anybody for free. And the law I believe the Constitution protects against that. And so our claim is that the city and county has taken and is continuing to attempt to take 1049 Market Street LLC's property without paying it compensation. And we're seeking compensation from the city in terms of millions of dollars for that.
This is a complex case. The tenant should never have been allowed in the building in the first place. It's also understandable that the new owner wants to go back to commercial use again. But the city has already carved out exemptions for the tenants to stay. Several cases from the building are still open in federal, state, and county court. Many other artists are being evicted as well. A bassist, a painter, a fashion designer. The list goes on.
Before the 1990s, where we had the dot, what they called dot-com, which is exactly what they call tech now. It's the same thing, Silicon Valley invading San Francisco. There was a big scare with all the people I knew, and my heart was beating, and we were all afraid that we wouldn't be able to afford to live in San Francisco anymore in the 1990s. And that was true for a number of people that I knew. They did have to move, most to the East Bay. So now it is brutal. We're all going. Everyone is being uprooted, and everything that has to do with the arts is being uprooted and thrown out of this city in the most cruel way.
I think that, you know, people eventually recognize that tech is only so interesting. You know, people are far more fulfilling to develop, you know, than tech. It's far more interesting to see people thriving and producing and integrated and you know, sustaining a community and working together than it is to see, you know, pixels, you know, become more smaller and smaller and prettier. It's only going to be fascinating for us for so long.
Whether it's the tech industry, landlords, or the inevitability of change, the reality remains the same. Working class artists are being swept out of the city. And regardless of the reason, San Francisco is at risk of losing the artistic soul that once made it famous. In San Francisco, I'm Ted Anderson for Cross Currents.